Cover, and we're now back in recession. The economy shrank in the last two quarters because of the weak construction and manufacturing sectors. Although the drop in GDP during the first half of this year was quite small, economist Michael Saunders thinks it's still depressing news.
This is the worst recession recovery cycle of the last 100 years. Worse than the 70s, worse than the 80s, worse than the 90s, and worse than the 30s. And I think that life for the economy is going to remain tough for some time to come.
The inquest into the death of an MI6 spy has been hearing evidence from his landlady. She says Gareth Williams once tied himself to a bed to see if he could get free. That was 3 years before the MI6 agent's body was found in a holdall in his bathroom in 2010. Culture Secretary Jeremy Hunt says there was no back channel to News Corporation over its B Sky B bid. He's been defending himself in Parliament over claims he was too close to Rupert Murdoch's media empire. Meanwhile, Rupert Murdoch claims former Prime Minister Gordon Brown was not in a balance state of mind when he called to declare war on his company. He told the Leveson Inquiry today that Mr. Brown contacted him after the Sun switched its allegiance to the Tories at the last general election. It must be tough if the village you live in is called Dull, but residents of a small Scottish community are going one further, trying to form a partnership with a town called Boring in America. Marjorie Keddy from Dull Community Council thinks it's an interesting idea.
I can just imagine tourists coming up and suddenly seeing a sign that says Dull, twinned with Boring or whatever it is, and it makes people smile, and in this economic climate and day, I think it's really a very light, good idea.
And Sharon and Ozzy Osbourne have become grandparents. It's after Jack's fiancée, Lisa, gave birth to a baby girl called Pearl. That's the latest. I'm Tim Jones.
This is Phoenix FM. On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Much more than I needed before. I got money in the meter and a turbo-heater. Oh, and now it's getting hotter. Oh, it's only getting sweeter. I got legs on my chairs and a head for a hair. Holding a pan and some shoes in my feet. I got a shelf full of books and most of my teeth. Two pairs of socks and a door with a lock. I got food in my belly and a license for my telly. And nothing's gonna bring me down. For the scenes, I'm out and about, so I'm in with a shout. I got a favorite chat, but better than that. Food in my belly and a license for my daddy, and nothing's gonna bring me down. I'm out of blowing out. Oh,
Phoenix FM Travel News with the hair company Crown Street, Brentwood.
Two lanes closed on the M11 northbound between Junction 7 of Harlow and Junction 8 of Bishop Stortford because of an accident. Queuing traffic on the A13 eastbound between the Five Bells Interchange in Basildon and the Sadler's Farm roundabout. Onger Road in Brentwood is busy but moving southbound at the A1023. High Street in Brentwood is also busy, slowly moving at the B185 Kings Road Junction. Van Diamonds Road in Chelmsford is slow towards the Army and Navy, also affecting the Baddow Road at the Army and Navy. And you may be delayed by temporary traffic lights in Priest Lane, close to the Middleton Hall Lane junction in Shenfield, and also further on down into Shenfield. Hutton Road has also got traffic lights close to the Friars Avenue junction, and Ingatestone Road in Stock is closed in both directions near the Buttsbury Hall Farm Lane junction. There's delays on the Northern Line, Morden to Kennington.
Phoenix FM Travel with the hair company Crown Street, Brentwood. Creating style with a smile. Book your appointment on 01277 222 864.
Driving instructors required for Brentwood and Billericay areas. Why not train to become an instructor with Easy 2 Pass Driving School? If you're looking for a change of career, you could benefit from a company with over 20 years' experience in instructor training. And there's also the offer of work within the school when you pass the exam. Contact Easy 2 Pass Free on 0800 88 18745 for your rewarding career. 0800 88 18745.
Every Monday evening at 10 p.m. on Phoenix FM, tune in to The Interesting Alternative Show with me, Steve Davis. If you're wondering what type of music I'll be playing on the show, well, that's a tricky one to explain. Because if you've never heard of the musical genres Zool, Rio, Canterbury or Avant Progressive, then it will be very much a journey into the oral unknown for you. If you like something a bit different, though, then The Interesting Alternative Show will be for you. Every Monday night from 10 p.m. on Phoenix FM, The Interesting Alternative Show in association with The Money Shop, 1 High Street, Brentwood.
Hello, you're listening to Gabby on Drive here on Phoenix 98 FM. Don't forget that joining me in the studio very shortly is Alan Wichels. He's actually here now and awaiting, but I'm going to be speaking to him very shortly. I'll bring you a song and some local events and then I'll be speaking to him.
Give you the world, but he's gonna leave you crying with your heart in the dirt. You better get to getting on your goodbye shoes.
Phoenix FM Events Guide, in association with Skidmarks, tyre and wheel alignment specialists.
Okay, on Thursday the 3rd of May at 8pm, there's going to be an annual dinner organised by the Hutton Horticultural Society at Mount Avenue Banqueting Suite, Hutton Masonic Hall in Mount Avenue in Brentwood. It's a good three-course dinner, wine is included and an after-dinner speaker. In addition, there will be a cash bar and a raffle. It's £20 to go along. Contact Judy Stevenson on Brentwood 650294 or get those details again on our website, allthews.phoenixfm.com/local events.
Phoenix FM Events Guide, in association with Skidmarks, Prospect Way, Hutton, your specialists for tyre and wheel alignment. Telephone Brentwood 210414.
I'm pleased to say that I'm now joined in the studio by Alan Witchells. I am saying your surname right, aren't
That's
I?
Right. Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
wonderful.
Yeah.
I was just checking. I didn't want to make you out to sound like a witch. Witchells. It kind of begins that way. Now, you're a local Christian youth worker, aren't you?
That's right, yeah. I work for a church down in Ongar.
And you do it full time?
I do it full time.
Do you do the youth work full time, or do you just do the whole work for the church as a whole full time?
Yeah, so my job title is youth and children's worker, or youth and children's minister. That's the proper title. So I do basically what a minister does, but it's just applied to children and young people. So a minister's there to help people find out about Jesus, to get stuck into the Bible, to teach them and equip them. And I do that for children and young people. I kind of focus my time and energy on teenagers, and I have a big team of volunteers, a lovely team of volunteers, who work with the children. And I kind of oversee them and make sure that they've got everything that they need, all the resources, all the materials. And that's for stuff on a Sunday and stuff through the week as well.
Yeah. All right. Okay, then. So it's kind of... You must have to use quite a few range of teaching methods.
Yeah.
You know, it has to be quite varied with children because they all learn in different ways.
Yeah. Yeah, so with the children, we have activities and crafts, as well as kind of more sort of teaching kind of methods, such as, you know, questions and discussions. With the teenagers, we spend some time during the week. I'll give a talk on the Bible and just trying to help them understand what bits of it mean and how it's relevant. And then on Sundays, we'll look at that same bit of the Bible in a bit more depth, and we'll kind of surround those times with activities and discussions and questions and things like that, just to get them thinking and engaging with it. So yeah, there is a wide range of things that I use. I love media, so I use videos and music a lot, because that really engages people, and getting them thinking about what they're looking at.
Now Easter has just passed.
Busy season for church workers.
It is a busy season, but does it frustrate you as a Christian that some people just... The only thing that they associate with Easter is eating chocolate,
Chocolate.
And overindulging, really.
Chocolate is... It's a treat.
I enjoy chocolate all year round, but yeah. I don't associate chocolate and Easter.
Yeah.
I would have done once upon a time.
Yeah, it's frustrating because the whole...
It's kind of a sad and a happy time for us as Christians, wouldn't you say?
So the whole kind of chocolate egg thing comes out of eggs representing new life. And, for Easter...
Is that what it means to you?
Yeah,
because I thought because you know what Easter means.
Yeah,
the Easter definition.
Go on,
it's the goddess of fertility, isn't it?
Well, that's kind of what happened. Is Christians kind of anchored celebrations with celebrations that were going on in this country
at the time,
to kind of and kind of say, look, you celebrate this, but that isn't actually... We don't believe that's right. This is what we believe to be true.
Yeah, but why did they still keep the whole eggs and the rabbits? That's what I don't get. I can understand that, but because that's kind of a good thing, isn't it? It's kind of bringing Christianity to the society that it was at that time, back in history. But, like, why did they still bring the whole fertility element into it? It was the goddess of fertility, and then they've still got the eggs and the bunnies, which is really, really nice and everything. And it would be nice if we could associate it with springtime, although it appears we can't this year. But, you know, and the lambs and everything like that, that's nice because it's spring. But why did they keep... I just don't understand why they kept the eggs.
Well, the heart of it, Easter for Christians is probably the biggest celebration of the year, bigger than Christmas, because it is the heart of what we believe, that God became a man and died on a cross in our place to take away all of sin. And if you don't know what sin is, a really helpful way of remembering it is when we say, shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your way, S-I-N. Shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your way. Jesus died on the cross for our sin, and in him taking our sin, he gave us his righteousness. That's his right relationship with God, and that's what happened on the cross. And he proved that he'd done that by raising 3 days later, raising from the grave, to a new life that would... he could no longer die. Death had no hold over him because he'd paid the price of sin and death. That's at the heart of the Christian message, and that kind of new life aspect is probably what carried on
why the egg still
hence
continues.
The eggs, yeah. But for Christians, I mean, you know,
so that's it, what an, so when a Christian eats an Easter egg, which they do, quite a lot of them, not all, I suppose, and some
my
people
kids
can't
have still got loads,
some people can't eat chocolate, and that's quite sad. If it was a Christian dog, they can't eat an Easter egg. But I bet you there are some pet supply stores out there that sell dog chocolate Easter eggs. There's got to be. But you know, so that's kind of what it means to as a Christian. I think there's probably quite a lot of people sitting in churches and they're not really...
No, they're probably not that aware of where the link comes from.
Yeah, they're probably like, oh yeah, we have these Easter eggs, but, you know, why do we have them? Well, they might still think it's linked to that goddess of fertility, but really it's now about re-life.
Yeah, exactly. It's about trusting Jesus, what Jesus did on the cross. So in our family, we kind of took the whole egg thing. We had an Easter egg hunt. We had 10 eggs that the kids had to find. And in each one was an object, like a person to say that, you know, God made the world and God made people. A nail to say that Jesus was nailed to the cross. A crown of thorns to say that, you know, he took our sin on himself. And the last egg... was empty, to say that the grave was empty, that Jesus had risen, and we can celebrate that and trust that for ourselves.
Have you seen that film called The Passion of Christ?
I have seen that film, yeah.
Some Christians like it, some don't.
And that's fine.
To me, when I watched it as a young 17-year-old, probably, you know, atheist...
Yep.
That had an effect on me, that film, and I had to leave the room. I was crying. And that was the first time that I personally saw the whole story, which was a story to me initially. I mean, I went to a church school, so I knew all the Bible stories and all of that, but you know, that film made it real, and that film did definitely changed something.
Yes, I
wasn't like a Christian the next day at all.
Sure,
that didn't happen till a bit later on.
I think lots of people...
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think lots of people know the story.
Yeah,
And something like that film kind of just makes it really visual. I mean,
because we read stories all the time, don't we? We read myths and legends, and you know, you kind of read a story, and you sort of have the same. Well, this is just a story, and sometimes. I sometimes feel that if the Bible is just left there for people just to read it, you know, you get on and you read it, you know, in the same way you read a book, then that is but you know, because that's the way, it's back to what we were saying about learning, it's the way they learn it. But then that day, because I am a very visual person, and I'm sure there are other people that would agree with me out here, that day when they watched that film, it made it real. It was like, now hang on a minute, this could have happened, and if it happened, you know, and to me, it was like, well, if it happened, I mustn't ignore that.
Yeah.
Could be, you know, some people see it as a complete myth. Mm. But then if the Bible is a part of history, then really you can't ignore it. You know, I suppose, you know, we've got all of these history books and we've got these... what are they called? I can't believe, I can't think
all
of...
the textbooks.
What's the name of, like,
encyclopedia?
That's the one! I nearly said... I was like, Atlas Dictionary, no. Thesaurus, no. Encyclopedia. That's the one. Thanks.
Yeah, we got all these kind of things, but... people lose the sight of the fact that this was history, that the Bible is a historical document, and
these things did happen. It is to us as Christians.
But it's interesting that the only problem I've got with that film, and I do like the film, the only problem I've got with it is that it doesn't explain why Jesus had to die.
Oh yeah, I know. It only hones in on a certain thing.
Well, it hones
it?
on the process of execution, which is really helpful to know. But it's interesting that in the Bible they don't actually describe that, because that's not actually that important. The thing that was important was why he did it. So Jesus spent a lot of his time explaining, saying, "Look, I'm going to die for sin. I'm going to rise again. Do you get it?" And all the disciples are going, "No." And he goes, "Look, okay, I'm going to die, and then 3 days later I'm going to rise. Do you get it now?" And they're kind of going, "No." And then he dies and rises, and they go, "Ah, get it now, you died for our sin." So that you missed that in the film, but it is helpful to show that it was an actual event, and it was actually quite a horrific event, and that Jesus did actually suffer. And so when we trust in him, we know that he's been through suffering.
Do you know who made the film?
Mel Gibson.
You know, what was... was it just made just to make money like most films are?
So.
Or was any of the money sort of donated towards something to do with Christianity? I wonder.
I don't know what happened to the money.
It'd be quite interesting to find out.
He made the film. He comes from a Catholic background, and there's kind of lots of Catholic things in the film that kind of give that kind of clue away.
You can tell.
But I think he made it to... I don't know if it's true or not. There's a kind of a rumor going around that when it goes to the scene of them hammering the nails into Jesus's arms, that the actor who plays the hands of the soldier is actually Mel Gibson, to say the fact that it was his sin that put Jesus on the cross. Now, I don't know if that's true, but it kind of sums up.
Is Mel Gibson a Christian?
Well, I wouldn't want to say. I've never met the
You're
guy.
Not sure.
I'd love it if he was. I pray that he is. I don't know, because I haven't met him. But, you know. There's time yet. Who knows?
Perhaps he has made it public somewhere. We'd have to trawl the internet.
Oh yeah. Good luck with that.
I spend enough time doing that for work as it is. Do you find that today? Do you find, you know, because you work with young people a lot? Do you think there's, you know, do you see any change over the number of years that you've been working with young people? What changes have you come across
in terms of their attitude to Christianity and
Jesus?
Yeah,
and numbers as well.
Yeah, so 50 years ago, we were quite a Christian society.
Now, hang on a minute. You're not 50.
I'm not 50, no, but I know youth and children's leaders who are.
Okay. And they've shared it with you.
Yeah. And part of my course, so I studied youth and children's ministry for a degree, and part of the course was studying the kind of history of it. 50 years ago, we kind of were in a really Christian society where it was commonplace for people to go to church, or at least be familiar with going to church, and there wasn't really anything around for young people to do, and so the kind of natural thing was to hang about in a church youth group or a church youth club, and people were comfortable doing that. Fast forward 50 years, there are now endless things for teenagers to do, believe it or not. You know, there's things to entertain them, there's things at home, things out and about, there's lots of choices, there's lots of clubs, after school clubs, all
there's
kind of
so
things.
Many distractions, like the media, you know, that I mean, it really has changed. Once upon a time they might have been distracted out, you know, playing, although I know I know a lot of churches that sort of start their own little, you know, sports groups. So that doesn't even have to get in the way. But now it's all about, I mean, how on earth do you bring Christianity to a PlayStation?
Well,
do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
How do you bring it to the internet? I really do think that there's so many endless possibilities on the internet. Mm. I often find it myself.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be going online to actually look up something that is to do with my personal Bible study.
Mm.
And then before I know it, I'm checking my email, I'm checking Facebook. And it's like, oh, I've been completely distracted about what I was trying to do in the first place, you know. Everyone does it at work as well.
Yeah, yeah. So there's lots of distractions for young people, and that's kind of why, I mean, my youth group is kind of 10 teenagers, approximately. And some people might go, well, you know, 50 years ago we had 40. The thing is that those 10 teenagers really want to get stuck into the Bible, and more importantly, they really want to tell their mates.
Sorry, so you're saying it's now 10?
So yeah, so
so let's say it's now about 10, and then before, how many was it?
Well, I'm just going on kind of rough figures.
Go on.
So
approximately 10 at the moment.
Yeah, so 10 at the moment. Some churches
years ago
would have had 50, 60
really?
Kids coming along. But the question I would want to ask:
What do you think? Do you think it's because a lot of families now are kind of, what do they describe themselves as? Is it agnostic?
Agnostic or atheist,
Have people stepped away from kind of acknowledging their spiritual health in general?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, because even the doctors say that we don't, you know, we don't enrich our lives spiritually enough.
I mean that could
be one of the reasons. This is just in my head. I haven't got a reference in front of me or anything, so don't start quizzing me on that. But you know, this could be one of the reasons why we've now got such a mental health epidemic, mental health problem in society, epidemic. Because you know, and even countries that you know, you've got countries like India, and you've got countries like Thailand, and they acknowledge it. They might, you know, acknowledge it through meditation, Buddhism, yoga, whatever. But do you know what I mean? They still feel that they've got a spiritual need, don't they?
Well, it's interesting. Where I was kind of a couple of churches before the church I'm at now. This was when I was working full-time doing an ordinary job, so to speak, and kind of helping in a youth group as a volunteer. One of our youth group went out to Africa to help build a school building for a church there.
Yeah.
And they came back and were really challenged because they thought that they had everything, and they went out and they saw these kids who materialistically had nothing, but because of their relationship with God,
I bet they were happy,
undistracted
kids, were they?
They were really content, and that's the key word, is contentment.
Yeah.
That lots of people out in Africa where there's no material distraction are really content. They don't have a lot, and yes, they need basic things like water, and we've got a responsibility to provide that and help them with that. But they are content. They know who God is. They know what He's done for them, and they know
their place. They're not having like little tantrums every 5 minutes.
Exactly. So they came back to this country and just saw that actually we're very rich, but we're really poor spiritually. And
yeah, they saw that.
We're not content in this country at all. And you just have to look at the London riots to see that.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what did you make of the London? Because I think those have happened since I last saw you.
Yeah.
Like the London riots, it was like these. I actually didn't. I can remember meeting so many people with different opinions. Mm. And I met a lot of people saying, oh, for goodness sake, they need to go out there and get a job, you know, whatever. And I actually felt their frustration.
Mm.
Because I was like, they feel like they've got no hope.
Mm.
That's what it meant to me.
Yeah.
That's what the London riots meant to me. I could see these. I honestly didn't blame them, and they're all now getting into trouble. And then now they're probably going to go in some of them will probably go into, you know, the ones that have been convicted of crimes, and who knows, they may go downwards now in a spiral.
Yeah.
But you know, it was real kind of, yeah.
It was such a complex issue.
It was.
It's really,
really
hard to give an opinion on it because you've got kids who were troublemakers alongside rich millionaire people who were just bored, both doing the same thing. And so it's really hard to give an assessment of it. But I think you're right that the key thing is that both everyone involved had no hope, had no reason, had no thought, process by which to contribute.
They didn't care because they knew that there may be consequences to their actions, but I think some people genuinely don't care about the consequences. They're like, I haven't got anything better to look forward to.
Yeah, exactly.
I haven't, you know.
And now they are learning that lesson in a very tough way, that there are consequences to their actions and quite severe consequences.
I just hope that the consequences to their actions are now approached with support.
Yeah.
You know, people need to start, should stop waving the finger so much at you shouldn't have done this, but should be thinking, now hang on a minute, you did this and yes, it was wrong and perhaps you need to be punished for it in some kind of way or give something back into society now as a result, but why did you do it in the first place? We need to ask more why questions. I personally think.
Yeah, and there's it's really encouraging. There's somebody I know in a church in Enfield.
I mean, Russell Brand in the news yesterday. Did you hear the news?
And
he's okay. Russell Brand. I know the feeling when you've been that busy. But basically, Russell Brand was talking about young people and drugs.
Okay.
And he said that we need to start addressing not the fact that they're taking drugs.
But why?
Forget that. Yeah, why? Yeah. Why are they in that place? That place, you know, mentally, spiritually, whatever you want to call it, in their life at that particular time. Why are they in that place where it's like, I need to feel that much better?
Yeah.
Because that's why people take drugs, because they don't like feeling normal. They don't just like feeling normal, sober, every day, you know, normality. That's why they take it.
Yeah. It's the way that the Bible puts it is everyone worships something. The question is not whether you worship, it's who or what you worship. So somebody who's an alcoholic worships alcohol. They need it. It gives them the good feeling that they need, that they crave, that gives them something to live
because
for.
But it is because there's obviously something that's happened there.
Well,
do you know what I mean? For them to become I know people that have become alcoholics, and it's normally because something really tragic has happened in their life, that's the way they've handled that. And to people that are Christians, like, you know, you and I, we will then hopefully, although this, you know, some Christians, it doesn't matter what religion you are, people can always go off track.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, and that's the way, you know, we hopefully turn to what we believe in, but other people, that's kind of what they use, because I suppose if you don't have anything that you believe in, then who else do you turn to? It's quite hard, isn't
it? Yeah, so so what usually happens is something in life goes wrong or fails or somebody suffers and they turn to something as their saviour, as their means of being saved from that bad situation. So for some they turn to alcohol, for others they turn to drugs, others they turn in a wrong sense to fitness to be their saviour. Other people turn to other different world religions. But there's only one true saviour. This is what I believe, and this is what I believe
the Bible
teaches.
It's what you believe.
Yeah, that there's only one true saviour, and all the others, they might feel like they save you. They might feel like they rescue you from that situation. So alcohol might feel good for a time, but then it lets you down because you come down the next day. You come down from the high. You sober up, and life is still just.
I think I know what you're going to say next. But with your faith, you feel like you never come down.
No, it's not like that at all. It's actually.
Oh, no, I don't know.
Well, I know
what you mean.
It's a lot deeper than that, because that kind of. So I know Christians who struggle with these things, but the thing is that they turn to Jesus because He is able to save.
Yeah, I think it's
completely
more like you fall down a few branches, but then you always climb back up a few more. That's the way it is.
It's because
but you never fall on the ground completely.
Well, it's the fact that the rescue, you being saved from the problems of this world and sin and things like that, don't depend on you. They depend on Jesus, because he's the one who does the saving. He's the one who does the rescuing.
Yeah.
Everything else, it's all about you fixing the problem. Whereas Jesus is the one that says, come to me and I'll fix the problem. And it's the big problems of life, that is sin, death, those things that Jesus saves us from and fixes. And he often saves us through those problems and through those sufferings. So, for example, you know, my brother, as I mentioned last time we were in, had a really bad leg illness. And he saved him from that by bringing him to trust in Jesus. He died and is now with him without any sickness or suffering or illness. So, and it's important that people bear that dimension in mind, that it isn't that if you trust in Jesus, life will be fine. It's not that at all. It's if you trust in Jesus, you can have a hope that goes beyond death, that everything will be fine. And that's something that alcohol can't provide an answer for. That's something that drugs can't rescue you from in that kind of way. Nothing but Jesus provides rescue in that way. That's what I believe the Bible says.
And that's what it means to you.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Absolutely. Well, thank you for coming on and sharing that. And I'd love to talk more. If anyone's, you know, because, you know, we've had to, you know, finish now. But if anyone wants to ask any further questions, or they're sitting there like, how could you not, we've talked about so many different things today, how could you not talk about this, or, you know, how could you not talk about that? I know stuff that I'd like to talk about, but, you know, we haven't got time today. But there is a way to contact you, isn't there?
Yes, there is.
What is that way?
I'm on Facebook. If you search for me on Facebook, that's Alan Witchells. I'll spell it in a second. I'm also on Twitter. My username is Alan Witchells, all one word, and this is where I'll spell it. So it's ALANWITCHALLS.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming in.
It's all right. Pleasure.
And I hope you'll come in again in the future.
Help us to help you. Email pothole@skidmarksltd.com. Skidmarks, tyre and wheel alignment specialists.
Phoenix FM Travel News with the Hair Company, Crown Street, Brentwood.
Delays in queuing traffic on the M11 northbound between Junction 7 of the A414 and Junction 8 of Bishop Stortford. It's taking an extra 25 minutes, average speed 20 miles an hour. Queuing traffic on the A13 eastbound between the Via Bells interchange in Basildon and the Saddlers Farm roundabout. Queuing traffic on the A127 South End Arterial Road eastbound between the Fortune of War in Leyndon and the Fair Glen interchange in Southend-on-Sea. Travel time's an extra 25 minutes. Onger Road in Brentwood is slow, moving southbound at the A1023 High Street Junction, and the High Street itself is also slow moving at the B185 Kings Road Junction. There's slow traffic also on the Van Diemen's Road into town in Chelmsford at the Army and Navy, also affecting the Baddow Road at the Army and Navy. And you'll find delays on the Northern Line. Morden to Kennington is delayed there.
Phoenix FM Travel with the Hair Company, Crown Street, Brentwood. Creating style with a smile. Book your appointment on 01277 222 864.
Help us to help you. Email pothole@skidmarksltd.com. Skidmarks, tyre and wheel alignment specialists.
Are your prized possessions protected at home? How would your business be affected if you were broken into and essential equipment stolen? Peak Security Group has over 30 years of security experience, keeping your home and business secure. From CCTV, door entry and gate systems to intruder alarms, we guarantee you will get the right advice for your needs with free double warranty cover. Call us today on 01268 777 232 or visit us at peak-security.co.uk.
Fuck! Cool, blimey, John, watch out. You should join Worley Park Golf Club in Brentwood. They're offering 4 free lessons with a PGA professional and an incredible 4 months free membership if you join in April. That's 16 months of golf, including 2 whole summers for the price of 12. Just call them on 01277 200 441 to book a test round this month. And who knows, John, by the summer you could have a drive you'd actually want to shout about.
Terms and conditions apply. Search Worley Park offers online now.
Tuesday night is Motorsports Night with me, Dave Turner, as we talk to some of the biggest names in the world of motorsport, from two wheels and four wheels. If you like your sports motorised, then join me, 6pm to 8pm every Tuesday, only on Phoenix 98FM, in association with ebspestcontrol.co.uk.
radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Events guide in association with Skidmarks, tyre and wheel alignment specialists.
Jumping forwards a little bit, on Saturday the 12th of May at 7pm, the Mayor of Brentwood's end of year party is happening at the De Rougemont Manor in Great Worley. It's a three-course meal raffle auction and live music. It's £40 in aid of the Mayor's charities. You can contact Claire Hayden if you'd like to go along on 312741, that's Brentwood code, or email claire.hayden@brentwood.gov.uk.
Phoenix FM Events Guide, in association with Skidmarks, Prospect Way, Hutton. Your specialists for tyre and wheel alignment. Telephone Brentwood 210 414.
You're listening to Gabby on Drive. I'm with you until 6 o'clock.
You're alone to yourself, and we don't suffer dreamers. But neither should you walk the earth alone. So with finger rolls and folding chairs and a volley of streamers, we can be there for tweaks and repairs should you come back home.
Across Brentwood and